Hi there, Saints fans. Jen Hale here from the NFL on Fox. You're listening to Taking the Over with Billy Gunn.
Welcome to Taking the Over. I am your host, Billy Gunn. As you can tell from the mullet and the sunglasses, just kidding, Gunn will not be joining us today. This is just tea for week three. Many of you, probably not, may have followed or listened to Spreading with Tea, a former podcast prior to joining the Taking the Over family. But today we are Taking the Over, brought to you by Boot Crew Media. DraftKings, use promo code BOOT. Going to cover every game of week three, some more than others, but again, it's just me, so don't expect too much. So far this year, Gunn and I are doing pretty well. I think we're about 50-ish, 55%, which is pretty good. A lot of variance left, so we have room to grow and definitely a lot of room to fall. But it's the beauty of gambling. You never know what you're going to get, but keep chugging along. And there are a lot of plays this week I like, a lot of plays I'm going to stay as far away from as possible. Last night, the Pittsburgh Steelers lost to the Cleveland Browns. I had the Steelers plus 5.5. I thought that was a lock. I thought wrong. Mitch Trubisky is clearly not the answer. He is the lowest yards per attempt in the NFL. Last night, they tried to get him to throw the ball down the field, had a few chances. Obviously, George Pickens with that crazy catch on par with Odell Beckham Jr. against the Cowboys a few years ago. But not enough for the Steelers. This team is 7-10, 8-9. It has that written all over it. They're gonna play decent defense. Last night, they didn't play great at all. Nick Chubb hit over 100 yards on the ground. Jacoby Brissett was finding David Njoku wide open. They were sitting down in that soft zone. The Steelers, just not a great effort at all from Mike Tomlin and Pittsburgh. You got to wonder if we're going to Kenny Pickett soon. I think that time is coming up. They're probably going to give Mitch one more week, but they have to kind of look themselves in the mirror and say, is this the year we go for the playoffs? Is this year we just see what Kenny Pickett's got? Sky's starting to fall a little bit. It's only week three. They're 1-2. But still, I think that the Kenny Pickett era is very, very close to starting. Still have 15 other games this week. Some notable trends this week. There's a lot going on. If you look at week one, generally the lines are a little shorter. We don't know what we're going to get from the teams. Could be lucky week one picking them. Week two is the huge overreaction week, so you'll see the bigger lines, as we saw last week, a few 10-point spreads, Atlanta versus the Rams. That's when the bookmakers know that the average bettor is going to overreact to only what they saw on TV or, if they're lucky, in person, and use that as your decision-making fuel for week two. Week three, this is where you find teams that are 0-2, really need to climb out of the gutter. This is hungry dog eat week. So there's a lot of opportunity to take teams that had, in the previous 2 weeks, have significantly underperformed or are just not playing well, for them to bounce back. Teams that are 0-2 cover around 60% in week three. So that's what we're looking at, is those teams that the hungry dog always eats. Those are the teams we want to target. One piece that I've seen floating around on TikTok recently, and did some research myself to confirm if it's true. It is true. Historically, the point spread, when you're looking at underdogs, they only matter in the NFL about 15 or 16% of the time. So what that means is 84% of the time when looking at underdogs, the team that covers the spread also wins. So if you really like an underdog, looking at the math, over an 80% chance of that underdog, if you think they're going to cover, that they're also going to win. So if there are teams that you really like as a dog and think they're severely undervalued, it does not hurt to go ahead and take the money line. Depending on the odds, of course, the points only impact that 16% of the time. If I'm taking a team, let's look this week, you got the Colts and you got the Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs are 6.5-point road favorites. If you think the Colts are going to cover, it does not hurt to also throw money on the Colts money line. Because, again, if they're going to cover, they have a that spread is only going to impact what happens 16% of the time. So 84% of the time that that team covers, they're also going to win. Maybe not the best game to pick, but just an example to prove my point, folks. Another trend looking at this week, division dogs of 6-plus points cover almost 60% of the time, 59% to be exact. And there are quite a few division matchups where an underdog is getting 6-plus points. So let's just dive into the games. Let's take a look here. First game I'm looking at, Baltimore minus 2.5, minus 3 at the New England Patriots, who beat the Pittsburgh Steelers last week. Not exactly a mighty feat, but it's a win nonetheless after they were they did not play well against Miami. Not many teams have this year. Baltimore on the surface is the conventional favorite here. Seems like an obvious pick. This line is way too short for me to not consider the Patriots. And it sounds crazy. I know Lamar Jackson, Baltimore is good. They're going to be a contender this year. Patriots realistically probably will not. I'm going to say this is a stay away game for the most part, but if you absolutely have to have some sweat in this game where you're doing a pick 'em pool, do not shy away from the Patriots in this matchup. This is a good opportunity to capitalize on a stinky line. There's a reason that this line is the way it is. And generally, the bookmakers know what they're doing. They know what they can get. I don't hate the Patriots here. Again, not much value on either side. Unless you really like the Ravens, it has dropped below that key number of 3. So the Ravens minus 2.5 is better than Ravens minus 3, obviously. Don't really see value on either side. Something is stinky here. This, for me, is a pure stay-away game, and just enjoy. Moving on, the aforementioned Chiefs and Colts are playing in Indianapolis. Chiefs are 2-0 with a blowout win against the Arizona Cardinals and a win against the – who the hell did they play last week? Chargers on Thursday Night Football, 27-24. Colts are 0-2, and they got their ass kicked by the Jacksonville Jaguars and Doug Peterson last week. Some may have had them at Jaguars' money line. Some may be T. That being said, this is a prime bounce-back spot for Indianapolis. If you are taking a side here, I cannot take the Chiefs to cover 6.5 on the road as well as they've played. If the Colts are truly as bad as the record indicates, this spread should be closer to 8, 9, 10. They are the home team. Is Indianapolis a tough place to play? Not particularly. It's a dome. That being said, I actually have the Chiefs money line, because I do think the Chiefs win. This is one of those cases where I feel like the spread will have an impact. Backdoor is wide open for Matt Ryan and the Colts. They really need a win here more than anyone. It's a hungry dog situation. I just don't think the Chiefs are the prime opponent to have that happen to them. They're going to put up a fight for sure. I do not think they win this game outright. I like the Chiefs in a money line parlay alongside another AFC South team, that is the Houston Texans. And this is one of my plays for the hashtag TTO Cappers Challenge. Remember, taking the over's Cappers Challenge, please get your picks in prior to kickoff by sending them to at taking the over or me with my newly changed Twitter handle at Mrs. _ Tout Fire. Pretty fire name. Chiefs money line, Texans money line, parlayed, and we're looking at odds there at plus 194. Chiefs are a big favorite, while the Colts, or excuse me, the Texans are only a 3-point dog against the lowly Chicago Bears. Justin Fields, they do not trust him to do anything with the ball. They don't trust this offense in Chicago. I don't think Justin Fields trusts himself at this point. This is a huge confidence breaker for him. Houston's been competitive. They tied the Colts week one. They covered last week against Russell Wilson and the Broncos. This seems like a play it simple type situation. It isn't Chicago. Is that a tough place to play? Not really. The Bears offense cannot get anything going. The Texans offense is meh. This is a good opportunity for Damian Pierce to break out. He's getting more and more carries for Lovie Smith and the Texans. He should have a pretty good game. I expect a lot of volume from him. Definitely a low-scoring game. I feel pretty comfortable taking the Texans to win this game outright. They've been more consistent in 2 weeks of work. I know it's only 2 weeks. The Bears, I just do not expect a big turnaround here. The hungry dog may run faster, but the hungry bear goes to sleep for the winner. This is bad news for Chicago. To me, the Chiefs and the Texans parlayed in the money line at plus 194. I actually feel more threatened by the Chiefs not winning than I do with the Texans, which is something you probably never heard before. But I like Kansas City to get it done. I know it's a tough situation for them. It seems like a trap game against only two Colts. I'll take Mahomes. I'll take Davis Mills. Probably the first time those two guys have been mentioned in the same sentence. Another division matchup. This one with a spread of six plus points. The Detroit Lions going to Minnesota. Play the Vikings, who got embarrassed on Monday Night Football by Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles after I had the Vikings money line. So the Vikings are officially, insert scribbling noise, gone. They are on my list. I don't like the Vikings in general. I thought they were going to have a good year, aside from personal feelings. This is a weird game for me. Conventional thinking based on metrics, based on trends, based on how Detroit and Minnesota have played through 2 weeks, and in their historic rivalry, they play twice a year as division opponents. Generally, some pretty close back and forth games. Conventionally, again, pick them. I think the Lions plus 6.5 is the safest play. I like the Lions team total a lot more, and it's been a little bit in flux. I believe it's over 3 touchdowns. They've had a pretty potent offense. Amon-Ra St. Brown is playing well. The Vikings just got blown out by the Eagles and their offense. You know, DeAndre Swift is running well. Jamal Williams is scoring goal line touchdowns. The Lions are offense is firing on all cylinders. I think it's going to be lower scoring than you think, but it's still going to be some offense. I don't want to even worry about what Minnesota does because I don't know what they're going to do. They've been very back and forth those two games. You know, they played really well 1 week against the Packers by great defense, and then they get blown out. Primetime Kirk Cousins got blown out against the Eagles. Take them out of the situation. Don't even factor the Vikings in. I like the Lions team total. I think they're still going to score some points. I just don't know what Minnesota is. I feel more comfortable just backing the Lions in this case and live with it. Our New Orleans Saints go to Charlotte, play the rival NFC South Carolina Panthers. They are in disarray. I don't know if you watched or seen on Twitter or the news, Dan Orlovsky, UConn graduate, NFL lifelong loser, and now TV analyst extraordinaire, has let the Panthers know that they are tipping their offensive plays by how Christian McCaffrey is aligned in the backfield, whether it be dictating a run, RPO, or pass. Matt Rhule quickly responded this morning on his press conference that they ran for over 100 and something yards, so it doesn't matter if someone knows their plays. That is the words of a loser. That is the words of someone who will not make it to the end of the year. I'm not picking this game. I do have a prop in here, and this prop is indeed part of the TTO Cappers Challenge. Alvin Kamara practiced this week, missed last week, has the rib issue. I think he's okay. I don't think it's a major concern, as our local New Orleans reporters like Nick Underhill and the beat writers have reported. Doesn't seem like a major concern. Last week is probably more of a maintenance thing before it becomes something bigger. As we've seen with Kamara in recent years, he's missed 3 and 4 games at a time. Obviously, we have a suspension looming as well, potentially next year. This is a tough game in terms of picking a side. The traditional trends come into play here. Both teams are 0-2 against the spread. Carolina's 0-2 straight up. Saints are 0-2 against the spread, as I mentioned, 1-1 straight up. You look at two teams that 0-2 against the spread. Generally, the team that's 0-2 against the spread in week two covers in week three, again, about 60+% of the time. Both teams are 0-2 against the spread, so you can't really do much there. Saints have played okay in Carolina in recent memory. I don't think they've lost there in a few years. Wearing their black jerseys, gold pants, I feel like whenever they play in that uniform in Carolina, they win. I have nothing to back that up, but obviously I'm going to root for the Saints. Love Kamara, 2 touchdowns. Big bounce back opportunity here. They're going to do everything they can to get him involved. Their offense has been running on fumes, which is generous. The first 2 weeks, they had one good quarter in the past 8. That was against the Falcons, and they had to storm back to win. That's more so an indication of the Falcons' complete dedication to being the biggest laughingstock in the NFL. They melt down consistently. I don't think that's much of an indication on the Saints. I don't know what we got with the Saints. They have a lack of identity, especially on offense. Their defense is going to keep them in games. This is going to for sure be a low-scoring game unless the Saints offense blows the doors open. Don't see that happening, but what I do see happening is a lot of simplification of the offense. They've been fairly committed to the run and early downs, and they put Jameis in situations where he doesn't get a lot of protection. His eyes get big. He throws the deep ball. You run, set him up for pro play action, not getting much protection from the running backs. The line played better this past week, I will say, early on in the game. I think they're going to simplify. It's going to be a lot of Alvin Kamara. It's going to be a lot of 5, 10-yard and under routes to their big names like Mike Thomas. Jameis clearly has a chemistry with Jawan Johnson, who's taking the most snaps at tight end on the team. Taysom Hill, if he gets involved, run the ball, 2 or 3 carries, 1 big play is all we need. But I really think this is going to be a Jameis dink and dunk, high completion percentage game. It has to be. You have to build his confidence back up. You have to get him in a rhythm, and you have to reinforce the idea that you don't have to win the game all by yourself on one play. There's 4 quarters of football, and if you can protect the football, which he did last year in those 5.5 games he played before being injured, he got away from that last week. I don't know if that was against the Bucs, his former team, trying to win the game by himself. He can't play like that, and he's got to simplify. So I think it's going to be a lot of Kamara. Mark Ingram should hopefully get some more carries. Tony Jones, as far as I'm concerned, shouldn't see the field unless someone's hurt. Michael Thomas needs 10 to 12 targets a game, and he's not getting there. He's getting 7, 8. He's open. If you look at the tape last week, on those interceptions, on those deep ball forced to Olave, there has been numerous underneath routes that are good enough for the first down, good enough for 7 yards. Jameis needs to understand that just because you don't score a touchdown on every play doesn't mean it's a bad play. And he did that a lot last year, and he got away from it last week. This is the week where it's show up or go home for him. And I think he'll feel the pressure. I think he is smart enough to understand what he needs to do. So Saints Panthers, I like Kamara 2 touchdowns. The odds on that are +697. I mean, that's fun juice. Let's ride it. If there's never been a better time than now for Kamara to score 2 touchdowns. These are the kind of games where you need your best players to step up. Tim Michael Thomas, simplify it. Jarvis Landry was great week one, meh last week. Let Jameis make the smart play. Give the ball to your best players. Get it out of his hands quickly. And that's where Kamara comes in. So I'm taking the chance, the flyer, I'll say, Kamara 2 touchdowns plus almost 700 yards. I'm staying away from the side, as I always do on the Saints Panthers. I think the Saints will play better than they did last week on offense. I don't know if it's enough to win. I hope they do, but I'm going to put my money on Kamara here. Another divisional game, 6-point spread. Eagles are, I believe, 6.5 or 7-point favorites now against the Washington football team, Commanders, R-Words, whatever you want to call them. I like calling them the Commies, as we know. But they are in FedEx Field, which is the worst stadium in the NFL. No home field advantage there. Eagles just cut off that trouncing of the Vikings on Monday night. And the most updated odds is 6.5 still, opened at a pick'em somehow. But Eagles are almost 7-point favorites, over under 47.5. This is a stay away for me as well. I don't know what I'm going to get with Washington. They look good week one. Last week, Eagles have been pretty consistent. I need 3 to 5 weeks of track record before I start crowning teams. I don't think the Eagles are as good as people think they are, but I don't think Washington's all that great either. If I absolutely had to pick this game again, gun to my head and said, pick a side with the points, take Washington at home, getting almost a touchdown in a divisional game. Again, division dogs of 6+ points, cover at nearly 60% clip. Carson Wentz playing actually decent this year. I believe he's top 3 in passing yards alongside Joe Flacco. So maybe not the most prestigious group. Nonetheless, Jalen Hurts and the Eagles, they're definitely good. And I think they will win this division because I just don't see anyone else coming out of there. But this game to me reads trap, home dog, division game. I may vary by the numbers, conventional thinking, long-term play person. If you were to bet this game in 100 different realities, I'd say realistically the Commanders cover at 60%, just like our metrics show us, and maybe win a few. So based on that, you got to go Commanders plus 6.5. I don't have anything in this game. Washington, one thing to look out is they have a ton of playmakers this year in Dotson, Terry McLaurin, and Curtis Samuel is having a crazy start to the year, averaging over 20 fantasy points a game in his first two starts. He's looking to get involved again. A lot of speed on that team. As long as Carson Wentz doesn't do Carson Wentz things, I think they can keep up offensively. It's just a matter of stopping the Eagles. One or two crucial moments in the game where they can stop them will be enough to at least cover. I'll take the chance with the home dog if I absolutely had to. Moving to South Beach for another division game. Buffalo Bills, who are already crowned the Super Bowl champions by many, are, I think, 4-point favorites on the road in Miami against the Dolphins, who are also 2-0. Actually, Bills are 5-point favorites now with an over-under of 52.5. Tua is leading the league in passing yards after Gunn trashed him relentlessly. I really just think Gunn doesn't like lefties. Kind of a weird thing to do, but it is what it is. I'm not necessarily sold on Tua either, but I don't think he's as bad as people make him out to be. This game, initially when looking at it, it was a stay away for sure. And then I shifted and really identified something I like. The Dolphins team total is over almost 4 touchdowns. I believe it's 26 or 27.5. That's based on 2 weeks of offensive output. They haven't played a defense like the Bills. So initially, I loved the Dolphins team total under against Buffalo. Again, don't have to worry about the Bills offense. Don't have to worry about much except for the Bills defense, which is pretty proven to be successful. Until this morning, Friday, December 23rd, I believe both Bills safeties are out. Poyer's out. I feel like Mike Micah Hyde's out as well as a defensive tackle on the Bills. Is that enough to give the Dolphins a boost? It could be. So again, I was team total under for Miami. I'm actually going to cash out and play nothing on this game for now. I'm probably going to mess around with some props closer to game time. This is one of those games where you just sit back and enjoy. There's not much value here. It's under a touchdown for the Bills. If you really love the Bills, make sure you get it before it climbs to 7, which I anticipate it possibly could before kickoff. If you love Miami, wait. Get that closing line value at 7. I don't love either side. I love the Dolphins offense to have a regression. I still think it's possible. So that's my best bet on this game. If you have to pick something, is a Miami team total under, I believe, 26, 27.5. Trust the Bills defense. I know it's on the road. I don't really think that matters. Hard Rock Stadium, if you look at the splits, isn't necessarily a tough place to play either. Going to the second worst stadium in the league behind FedEx, MetLife, just a cylinder, zero character. They have two teams play there and neither colors are represented in the stadium. Just a metal monstrosity. Smells like Newark Airport, which smells like Newark, which smells like New Jersey. Just waste. Unrelated to the game. Cincinnati Bengals, 0-2. They were in the Super Bowl last year. What's going on? Joey B hungover, possibly. A lot of it's on play calling, and a lot of it's how they're setting up their offense. They are not balancing, and they are not using the run and pass in a complementary way. This is the week where they figure it out. The Bengals are going to absolutely crush the Jets. The Jets have the worst ranked DVOA on defense in the league. They're 32nd ranked. It is a miracle they're 1-1. I'm surprised they're not 0-3 somehow. I'm surprised the NFL didn't give them 2 losses for one of their games. But you are what your record says you are. They're 1-1. Bengals are 0-2. Massive hungry dog runs faster type week. Bengals 0-2 are going to cover. They're going to win big in New York. Another play I like on this, aside from the Bengals, I believe it's -5. Anything under a touchdown is great. I got the Bengals -4.5 as soon as this line opened up because I knew the Bengals are going to take the Jets to school. Jets got no class. They're school on a Sunday, unless you're in church. Jamar Chase over 74.5 reception yards, getting a lot of targets again. Good week last week. Massive opportunity for him to show out against listening to local radio, WFAN caller. Oh, the Jets defense is really keeping him in the game. It's more so an indication on a slow start by the Ravens in week one and the Browns. The Browns put up, 24 points against them last week, 23, whatever it was, 27, I don't remember. But the Browns put up a lot of points for 3.5 quarters of that game, and the Jets stormed back. That's more so, again, an indication of the Browns' poor defense than anything. The Jets defense is still bad. Just because they had 2 games, they looked okay for a half in each, does not make them a good team. This is all eyeball tests. People go off of that whenever they bet. Pure eyeballs. Look at the numbers. Look at the advanced metrics. The worst DVOA in the league defensively. The Bengals are going to have a massive bounce back game here. Cincinnati in a rout. Bengals covering up until 7. Last game in the 1 o'clock slot is between 2-0-2 teams in the Las Vegas Raiders going to play Tennessee. Tennessee's been a massive, I wouldn't even say disappointment because I don't know what their expectations were. I think no one really paid attention. The Colts seemed like the clear-cut favorite for the division, who are also 0-2. Texans and Jaguars are tied for the lead at 1-1. Colts are 1-1, I should say. Sorry, I forgot about the tie. Tennessee's going to win this game. Raiders are frauds. They always have been, and they always will be for the foreseeable future. Josh McDaniels, if you want to play the game of, why are the Saints going to be good? Look at Dennis Allen's career coaching. Look at Josh McDaniels' career head coaching record. Raiders blew a 20-point lead to Kyler Murray and the Cardinals, who got trounced by the Chiefs previous week. That was bad, and that sets the tone. That is an emotional distress. That's what that is. That is not something that makes you more motivated. That beats you and breaks you down. It is going to be hard for this team to get up. Another issue with this game for the Raiders, East Coast, teams from the West Coast that play in a 1 o'clock East Coast time slot historically have struggled mightily. The Raiders more so than any other team. They stink in the East Coast. Tennessee, in a very ugly game, is going to play well. Derrick Henry, not off to a great start. Not for me and my fantasy team, my two fantasy teams I have him on. Really need him to have a big game. Bias aside, I have no business taking the Raiders with any sort of point spread in this game or the Raiders at all. They have no business being favored. They have no business being anything less than a 7-point underdog against anyone except maybe the Jets or Giants. This is stupid that this spread is as tight as it is. Tennessee, I don't know if they're more talented. They're really not. If you look at a pound for pound, position by position, of course, you have Devontae Adams on the Raiders, but I cannot in good conscience after last week and after the week before that take this Raiders team to win a game after playing a complete four quarters in 1 o'clock time slot on the East Coast against a team who can run the ball and has a team who has won before with a coach who has won before in Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel will not allow this team to go 0-3, especially against this team. I feel very confident in taking the Tennessee Titans. Moneyline, plus one, whatever the spread is at closing time, it's going to be no more than 3 on each side. I think you take the Titans any way you can. This seems like just a stinky line where there's a lot of value on the home team here. Raiders are frauds. Jaguars, who are a big surprise, again, referring back to the DVOA, an advanced metric, the Jaguars number 2 in DVOA behind the Buffalo Bills. Who would have saw that coming? Doug Peterson has got his boys playing. Trevor Lawrence is starting to figure it out a little bit. Shut out the Colts last week. Played very tight against Washington week 1. They're getting 7 points against the Chargers. Justin Herbert, as we know, had an injury last week. I believe it was a chest injury. He was looking pretty uncomfortable for a few plays there. Still covered for me, though. Thank you, Justin Herbert. 7 points is a lot in the NFL. Not a division game, so we can throw out the division dog metric. Neither team is 0-2. Not much there in terms of historical trends. Justin Herbert being shaken up has me a little concerned. And at 7 points, it's really tough to take the Chargers to cover against a team who has been very scrappy in the Jaguars through 2 weeks. That being said, if Justin Herbert's truly fine and it doesn't impact his play, 7 points may not be enough for the Jaguars. Total stay away game altogether. I don't see a ton of value on either side right now. Watch this line as we get closer to kickoff. If Herbert is not going to play, or if it's reported that he's really banged up but still going to play, anything with game time decision, you're going to see the line start to shrink. And that's when I think we jump on the Chargers if Herbert does play at a shrunken line of maybe 5 or under, anything under that key number of 7. On the flip end, if Herbert is full go, no issues, you're going to get the Jaguars creeping upwards of maybe 10 points. And at that point, I have a rule of thumb. Generally, whenever a team in the NFL is getting double-digit spread, you have to take it. Teams have covered a double-digit spread since 2008 at a paltry percentage. I believe it's less than 35%. So you have to take the double digit dog if it gets to that point. Right now it's 7. It's a key number. Could be a push, you know, at how it's set up. I don't really love either side, but just monitor Herbert's health. Monitor the line. Creeps up above 8, I have no problem taking the Jaguars. If it drops below 7, I have no problem taking the Chargers. We don't play favorites in this show. Packers, another fraudulent team based on week one and then a bounce back. Last week, they play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Can we just take a moment to really reflect on how big of a piece of shit Mike Evans is? My God, that man is out of control. I was at that game. I was sitting two rows off the end zone when Mike Evans ran onto that field and knocked Lattimore out for the second time in their career. I don't care what Lattimore says under his skin. That's a penalty. The suspension, obviously. He had the balls to appeal it. Crazy. Should have been 2 or 3 games as a second time offense. Tom Brady should get some sort of punishment. I don't know what. He has to use the most overinflated balls possible for the next 3 weeks. Do something to that man because he was instigating. He never gets penalized. Never gets anything. It's a Tom Brady effect. Buccaneers defense is good. I don't know how good. Packers defense is good. I don't know how good. It's 2 weeks. I feel more comfortable, especially with the banged up receiving core of the Bucs. Godwin was hurt last week. I don't know if he's playing this week. Probably not. Mike Evans is out, as we know, with the suspension. That leaves Perriman, who scored last week. Russell Gage, who's also nursing an injury. And then the newly signed Cole Beasley. He has no shot. The Bucs have no shot in this game. I don't know, but I like the Packers' money line big time. I like Rodgers as a short dog here. Take the money line. This is also one of my TTO Cappers Challenge plays. I have the Packers' money line at a odds of plus 105. I got that a few days ago. I think the Packers make a statement here against another, you know, division favorite or conference contender, whatever buzzword bullshit you want to use. But I can't take the Bucs even at home. Is there a home field advantage there? Probably not. It's all fair weather Bucs fans. Against Aaron Rodgers, who looks like he's starting to pick it up a bit. Of course, it was Chicago last week, where, of course, they scored 27 points, half a point over my pick of a lifetime. Team total, 26.5 for the Green Bay Packers. I think the Packers keep it rolling. I really do see a Packers victory here. It's going to be low scoring. There's a hurricane rolling in or a Tropical Storm 9, I believe it's called, and not referring to Drew Brees going in there again, but Tropical Storm 9 is rolling up at the end of the week. I'm not a meteorologist. Maybe there's some early winds of brewing, but the only thing I feel is a cheesehead victory after this. So give me the Packers money line plus 105 in Tampa, road dog, short dog against a banged up Bucs receiving crew. Their offensive line isn't that great either. Tom Brady gets rid of the ball under 3 seconds to throw, so it's tough to get pressure. I think it's going to be a back-and-forth, low-scoring game, a lot of field goals, depending on that wind, of course. And the Rodgers has the last laugh. So give me the Packers. Money line in Tampa, plus 105. Next game is a doozy. Arguably the worst one on the schedule. Atlanta Falcons go to Seattle, play 12th man and Geno Smith. Seattle lost last week, did not cover against the 49ers. They're at home, where week one they beat the Denver Broncos and Nathaniel Hackett's questionable everything. So I don't know if that's an indication of the Seahawks being better than we think or if the Broncos just completely melted. I think it's the Broncos. They didn't look great last week either. I don't have a read on this game at all. For a pick 'em, I'm taking the Falcons and the points just because it's pretty much a toss-up. The line's down to 1 point now, so close to a pick 'em. Falcons being 1 point underdogs. There's going to be a very minimal amount of points scored in this game. I think Cordarrelle Patterson has an opportunity to get the run game going. Falcons, believe it or not, have a little bit of a wrinkle in their offense. Kyle Pitts hasn't done much. He has to bounce back. He can't continue to play like this unless Arthur Smith is just that bad of a coach, which is very well possible. If I had to pick, there's not much value, but I like Atlanta in the points. I know it seems like I'm taking a lot of dogs this week. That's by design. Dogs are a much more profitable play in the NFL over whatever the history of them tracking bets is, as opposed to favorites. I mean, who do you trust, Marcus Mariota or Geno Smith? Neither. Atlanta's due. I think this may be the one game they win in their schedule. So I would take the Falcons in a pick 'em. Or if you absolutely need to have sweat in this game, you're sitting in a Seattle coffee shop, or a bar and you got nothing to do except watch the Falcons Seahawks, which is enough to make you run to the bathroom. It's just gross. But I'll take the Falcons if I have to. Last 4 o'clock game, NFC West game, Rams, Cardinals. Arizona 1-1, Rams 1-1 as well. Rams have not covered in either game, 0-2 against the spread. Cardinals covered last week. Bada boom, bada bing. Rams -3.5-point favorites on the road. I'm all Rams in this game. Since Cliff Kingsbury and Sean McVay have gone into the league and coached against each other, McVay has owned Kingsbury. Kingsbury gets outcoached every single time. The Rams are much better than the record indicates, I feel. I don't know how good, but they're definitely better than a 1-1 team, and they're not going to be a 1-2 team against a team they have a lot of experience playing against. Cardinals would be 0-2 if it wasn't for a Raiders complete meltdown. They got dominated in that game again, 3.5 quarters. Raiders melt. Cardinals are not that good, and there are some big problems in Arizona. I like the Rams as a short favorite. Ideally, we would get this under 3. Right now, I believe it is at 3.5 still. Take a look at the juice on each. The Rams per DraftKings are -105, while the Cardinals are -115. The books want us to take the Cardinals. They really want us to take the Cardinals. Or they really want us to take the Rams, I'm sorry, with that -105. If you really look into that, great. I think enough casuals disregard the vig. So I'm going to take the Rams. Not my best bet of the week, but comfortable enough to lay actual units on the Rams -3.5 in Arizona in that NFC West matchup. That was 7 hours. That was 7 hours of commercial-free football, folks. Now we have the night games. Sunday night football is a good one, I think. It's an interesting one. 49ers, who have now turned to Jimmy G-strings Garoppolo in Denver after Trey Lance has broken something in his lower body, a leg. I don't know. Don't care to look it up. Trey Lance is gone. Jimmy G's in. I'm a known Jimmy G defender. I think he's much better than people give him credit for. He's not going to go out and light up the scoreboard. He's not going to go up and throw over 7,000 yards, but he's going to take your team to a Super Bowl and the playoffs. I don't know if the Niners are going to the playoffs this year. They're going to win this game. They're going to cover the 1.5 points. Anything under 3, the Niners are a much better team. The Broncos are still figuring it out. It could be a prime bounce back spot for Denver. One thing to look at is when Jimmy Garoppolo and Kyle Shanahan are together, aka when Jimmy Garoppolo is playing quarterback and Kyle Shanahan is coaching, they are 13-3 against the spread as a 3-point or less favorite. They're -1.5 this game, 1.5-point favorites. I got to roll with that historical trend. Something about Jimmy G and Kyle Shanahan, they got a thing going on, and they're going to cover -1.5 here in Denver against a potentially fraudulent Broncos team who have not put it together yet. Yes, they are Russell Wilson, who's older, not necessarily in the prime of his career. It seems like they tried to make a quick fix. I'm not going to defend and say Drew Lock wasn't the problem, because he probably was, but I don't trust the Broncos here, even as home dogs. It's only 1.5 points. I'm going to go with the better team in my mind here and look at the 49ers as a short road favorite. Final game of the night. Is a man one. Cooper Rush, Daniel Jones, Cowboys, Giants. Giants are a surprise 2-0. Actually have a decent DVOA, middle of the pack, so they're not necessarily overperforming, but they have had the luxury of beating up two bad teams in the 0-2 Tennessee Titans and the 0-2 Carolina Panthers. They didn't look all that impressive last week. They battled in that Titans game. I don't think the Giants are for real. They're going to come back to earth very quickly, and I think it's this week against the Cowboys. Cowboys are 2.5-point dogs. Yes, Cooper Rush. He played well last week against the Bengals. Cowboys defense is for real this year. They are playing very well. Micah Parsons are getting a lot of pressure, really limiting big plays. They are going to give Daniel Jones a lot of problems, which leads me to my another TGO Cappers Challenge pick of the week. It's a parlay, a same game parlay of sorts. Total inside here. That's it. No props, no nothing. Cowboys +2.5 parlayed with an under of 39.5. Cowboys +2.5, under 39.5. I like this game to be 13-10, 17-14. I think the Cowboys win this game, but I'd feel much more comfortable actually taking the points in a divisional game. Keep an eye on it, see if it moves. 2.5, not quite to that three number that is so crucial, but I still like the Cowboys in a divisional game to have success. They're going to do just enough offensively, as long as Cooper Rush minimizes big mistakes. You can do just enough to move the ball, lean on your run game, Tony Pollard and Zeke. Get CeeDee Lamb involved for some catches, potentially. The Giants, I think, are very overvalued. They should not be favored in this game, even though they're at home, even though they're 2-0, even though it's Cooper Rush. I like the Cowboys with the points and the under. I think a lot of casuals are going to look at this game and see Cooper Rush and think, no way in hell. I mean, look at Jerry Jones. He may have a quarterback controversy on his hands, he said, after 1 week. Cowboys, the points, and the under is the only way to go from my perspective on this game. Of course, I'm going to load up on props for Sunday night and Monday night just to make it that much more entertaining. But that was your week 3 NFL slate. I don't have much more to say, but I appreciate everyone joining. I appreciate Gunn having a busy schedule so the true star of the show could really, really shine in a solo spot. I feel like One Direction a bit. Am I Zane? I don't know. Not a One Direction fan. Listen to Night Changes and may change your mind. That was week 3. This is Taking the Over. I am T at Mrs. _ Topfire. Remember to get your TTO picks in prior to kickoff. That is Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern time. London game starts next week with the Saints and Vikings at 9:30 from Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. That'll be exciting. That'll be a nice breakfast brunch game like that. But until then, bet smart. Hopefully you got some education this week. And T, say goodbye to the beautiful people. Thanks, T. Good night to all. You know what? Good afternoon to all the beautiful people. It's Friday afternoon. You got a whole weekend ahead of you. Have some fun. Make some bets. Enjoy the college slate. Enjoy the NFL slate. And as always, feel free to tweet me at Mrs. Toutfire. I don't know what you're going to say to me, but I'm always around. Enjoy, folks.